I want you to see there that there was no surprises. Not a surprise. Not a thing came upon our Lord that he didn't know about. But knowing that, he began the introductions, "Whom seek ye?" And having begun the introductions, they came to arrest him. And then he spoke the words, "I am he." And as soon as he used the words, "I am," the band of soldiers fell back. They couldn't arrest him in their own power. They were repelled by the power of the Son of God. Now this was a demonstration of his power. And it proved that unless he surrendered to them, they could never have arrested him.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're on the air again to bring you the message of the gospel today. And I trust the Lord will draw near, minister to your heart. May that clip that we've already aired of our main message today stir you to join with us through the program. We're going to begin today with our one verse Bible reading, Matthew 13:33, the parable of leaven. "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." The key words in this shortest of parables are "till the whole was leavened." The proportion of leaven to dough was very little. As anyone familiar with bread making will tell you, a large pan of dough only requires a tiny spoonful of leaven or yeast to make the bread rise. The other thing to note is that the leaven can be hidden or placed in one particular place of the dough, and the leaven will spread to permeate through the whole loaf as it is baked in the oven. In both of these points, leaven is like the kingdom of God at work in the believer's heart. The Word of God, planted in the heart by the Holy Spirit, appears at first to be just a tiny little matter. In comparison to the great affairs of human life, personality, family business, career, etc. But where real grace is planted in the soul, all of these areas will be affected by the power of the gospel. A born-again Christian is a man or a woman who is changed in heart. Thus he is changed in the whole person. Sanctification is a work of God's grace, whereby we are renewed after the image of Christ in the whole man. From head to toe, that is, in our whole faculties and nature. And with a new nature, we will live differently for God in our home. God's grace will affect our choices of career and business. There will not be the least part of the new life of the child of God that the gospel does not affect. Everything must be laid on the altar for God. Our reasonable service is to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Our time, our treasure, our talents, and our treasure will all be offered up to God for his glory and service. This gospel turns tight-fisted misers into open-hearted ministers of the gospel. What a wonderful work salvation is in the human heart. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. A little boy went behind the Reverend George Whitfield as he was preaching. The boy placed a candy right into his hand and said, "This is for giving me a new daddy." His father had been converted in the Welsh coal mines. George Whitfield had been preaching the gospel, while many coal miners with blackened faces had tears washed their white streaks down their cheeks. They were tears of repentance, which worked a radical change of life within them. It was said at that time of revival that even the pit ponies knew that their masters were converted. They were kinder men as a result of their newfound faith. Yes, the gospel really works. It appears as nothing to the eyes of so many, But where it goes to work in a sinner's heart, it is a very powerful, life-changing work of God's grace. You need this leaven in your sinful soul to change you. You need to have the kingdom of God born in you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, giving the new birth experience. Will you pray for it? Will you ask for a new heart, that the leaven of heaven will begin to work in you, that every part of your body, mind, soul, and your person will be radically changed to a new life, living unto God and dying to sin? That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I trust that today that you will seek the Lord with all your heart. Let's unite in prayer and call upon the Lord today for his grace. O God and Father, we thank thee for this record of the gospel. We thank thee for this record of the leaven that permeates the whole loaf as a parable of the gospel in the hearts of men. And we pray today that thou wilt work by thy Spirit, planting that leaven in the hearts of men and women who need the Lord. I pray that you'll cause them to understand their need of the Savior. I pray that you will open their eyes, give them understanding, and cause them to be new creatures in Christ Jesus, created anew by the miracle and the operation of the Holy Spirit on their souls. Oh, we praise thee today that this is the power of the gospel, and we pray for it. We earnestly ask for it, and we pray that thou wilt deal in great grace and mercy. And so grant, Lord, your blessing and favor today. Let thy blessing be upon thy people. Let thy church be a church on fire for thee, with many precious souls being converted and lives changed for the glory of God. And now, Lord, be glorified in our ministry today. Continue to speak on and speak through your word and encourage every heart. We pray and ask in Jesus' name.
Oh, tell me more. I need his power to keep, his hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of him I love, until I see his face above. Oh, tell me more of Christ my Savior. On this glad theme dwell o'er and o'er. His boundless grace, his saving favor, his precious name. Oh, tell me more. Oh, tell me more. So much I need his power to keep, his hand to lead. Oh, tell me more. His face above. Oh, tell me more, and I repeating the happy news shall spread the joy. Come, blessed Lord, thy work completing, till songs of praise our lips employ. Oh, tell me more. So much I need his power to keep, his hand to lead. Oh, tell me. me more of him I love until I see his face.
That was Al Smith singing for us, and I trust that you've enjoyed that ministry in song today. Nothing like the singing of the cross and the love of our Lord Jesus to warm the heart of God's people. In John chapter 10, we read the parable of the Good Shepherd. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. And the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is the issue that we want to address today, the voluntary laying down of our Savior's life. What for? His own people, his own sheep. And this is the gospel. This is the very heart of the gospel message. The voluntary, substitutionary death of the Son of God upon the cross. In the place of, in the stead of, sinners, that we might be reconciled to God through the death of another. And I pray today that as we come to our message, that the Lord will minister to your heart. And give you faith in the Lord Jesus, give you confidence that this is the gospel story. We want to preach these messages on the sufferings, the death, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. And this is something we must emphasize if we're to understand exactly what the gospel is and how men may be reconciled to their God. And so I hope that you'll be encouraged today and you'll continue with us here in the program as from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, we open the book and let the Bible speak.
Now the second part of this case I would build is that his death was voluntary. And this is seen in the facts surrounding our Lord's arrest. As we look at the various accounts here in the various Gospels, and we see how our Lord, if I may use this in a human sense, walked into Judas' trap. He walked right into it, knowing full well what was in store. He knew this was leading to his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixions. But I would go one step prior to that. And I would say that our Lord Jesus, even in his praying, prayed to be the suffering Savior. Let's think of our Lord Jesus, how he prayed. Well, he prayed in Gethsemane. And he went alone, went a little further and prayed alone, prayed in agony, prayed that the Father's will be done. I know that some try to interpret that our Lord prayed that this cup would be removed from him, and that he would escape the cross. I don't believe that for one moment. I believe that it was Satan's work to kill the Savior in the very floor of the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe that Satan's hellish forces were there to destroy Christ before he got to the cross. And our Lord Jesus cried out, Father, strengthen me. And the Father sent an angel to strengthen him. And he went on to the cross. And he said, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Now, you're in John's Gospel now. Turn to John 17, verse 5. John 17, verse 5. Here's another prayer of our Lord. He is saying, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Now, in that praying for glory, he was really praying for death. Praying that he would go through this channel of the cross, enduring the pain of it, the suffering of it, and through his death, bring glory to God and glorify God's great purpose. Now, if I may take you back now to John 13, verse 31, and show you that this language of glorify and glory, it is specific to his death. John 13, verse 31. "Therefore, when he was gone out," that is, Judas was gone out. And last week we learned how Judas had received the sop. He went out to do his filthy work of betrayal. And here in verse 31, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Why? Because the plan, the action plan of betrayal and the steps toward crucifixion were in place. And the Lord Jesus was now getting nearer the cross, and thereby he was being glorified. Now in John 18 and verse 4, when Judas came with that band of Sanhedrin soldiers or security guards, and they were quite a substantial band, our Lord Jesus walked right into the trap, went back to Gethsemane, or to this very place, out there in the Kidron Valley, the brook Kidron. And in verse 4, "Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him." I want you to see there that there was no surprises. Not a surprise. Not a thing came upon our Lord that he didn't know about. But knowing that, he began the introductions, "Whom seek ye?" And having begun the introductions, they came to arrest him. And then he spoke the words, "I am he." And as soon as he used the words, "I am," the band of soldiers fell back. They couldn't arrest him in their own power. They were repelled by the power of the Son of God. Now, this was a demonstration of his power, and it proved that unless he surrendered to them, they could never have arrested him. But he did surrender, and when Peter would have taken up the sword and did cut off Malchus' ear, the Lord rebuked Peter and said, "Put away your sword. We're not here in military terms." He healed Malchus' ear. He surrendered himself to his opponents. He told his disciples not to fight. They were left in disarray, scattered as sheep, not because they weren't willing to fight. They were all too willing to fight. But the Lord said, "No, I'm not here to resist. I'm here to voluntarily surrender myself into the hands of my captors, because this is the cup that I am to drink. And this is the suffering that I came into the world. This is my hour. This is the purpose for which I have come." And in 18 verse 11, you'll notice he said then to Peter, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" And on he went with his captors, led as a lamb to the slaughter. Not because he was weak, not because he had no power, not because he had no defenses, but because he willingly surrendered himself as a suffering Savior to be crucified. And that night when he stood before his opponents, He did not seek a way to be released. And when he stood before Pilate in the morning, Pilate quizzed him and said, "Answerest thou nothing? Knowest thou not that I have power to release thee and power to condemn thee?" And he was frustrated because our Lord was like a lamb, dumb, silent. He made no defense to seek escape. He surrendered himself to his captors and later to his executioners. He told them he could have called the legions of angels, but he did not. And the evidence is that he went voluntarily, willingly, of his own free will. And he said here in John 10, "I have power to lay it down. No man taketh it from me." And he went on to the cross as a willing, yielded, surrendered, voluntary sacrifice. That's our Savior today. That's our Savior. The evidence is compelling. And he did it all for us. What a Savior. What love. What grace. Then my last point is this. His death was voluntary. And this is seen while our Lord was on the cross. We know this from his cries on the cross. The cry of his most complete surrender has to be, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." There is that final yielding of his life and all the value of his life unto the Father. It was a love offering to the Father. We know this also from the people's cries. They cried out in Matthew 27, they cried out, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, save thyself, save thyself." And this was shouted by those that passed by, "Come down, save yourself." This was the mockery of the scribes. It was also the taunt of the thieves. Before one of them was converted and was ready for heaven, both thieves on each side of our Lord, as he hung in suffering, they reeled at him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and come down from the cross." Let me tell you, that was addressing the heart of the issue. Our Lord could save himself, but if he did, he could never have saved us. He could never have done the work for which he had come to redeem his people. If he had delivered himself from the agony of the cross, the shame of it, the curse of it, he could never have delivered you and me from the curse of our sins. And so as our Redeemer, as our suffering Savior, he may not come down from the cross in his own way, but he must endure it. He must go through with it. This was his mission. This was his ministry. This was the purpose for which he was born. This was the reason why he was given a perfect body. This is the reason why there was in the very veins of the body of Jesus sinless blood. Because that blood must flow to redeem and save his people.
We may sound the depths of all the mighty oceans. We may tell the distance to the farthest star. But the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. when on the tree he died for me. God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. I behold his love in every golden sunset. I can see it in the beauty of a flower, and I feel it in my heart since Jesus touched me and redeemed me by his wonder-working power. And someday I'll thank him face to face in glory, when with all the millions at his feet I fall, and through countless ages there I'll live rejoicing, sing forever at the wonder of it all. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ, my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course, to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speaks.